Charlie Van Dyke, and you're listening to the DX Audio Service from the National Radio Club.
I'd like to welcome you to Lima, Ohio. And I trust between the Cupies last night and the dinner tonight and everything else that you've been well fed. But please dig into that 25-pound box of Hershey so I don't have to take those home. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to have our business meeting first. Then we'll take a little bit of time out to go get any auction items that have not been brought in. And then we'll do the world-famous NRC auction. I'd like to introduce to you the gentleman who's more or less our general manager of the National Radio Club. He oversees both the DX Audio Service and DX News, charge of publications. He's also a good soldier and a loyal NRC member. I'd like to introduce to you Mr. Ken Chatterton. Ken is going to present this year's award to, I guess, the DXer of the Year is...
We don't call it DXer of the Year, just an award for the service to the club.
Okay. Well, Ken, I'd like to give you the honors of presenting the award to...
Well, the award, and for those who don't see it, it's a square plaque with the name, the club logo, the location of this convention. And it says, to Russ Edmonds, in appreciation for your past leadership and many contributions to the National Radio Club, Lima, Ohio, September 2000. And for those of you who may not have been in long enough to know Russ, he ran the club in the early 70s. And at the time he took over, he saved the club. We had a convention, he went to it. We were told at that time that the current editor had published his last DX News. Somebody was going to take it. Russ Edmonds agreed to take it, rented a truck, and hauled the equipment home with him. Well, he did a lot for the club when it needed it the most.
There's been a lot of folks wondering where our next get-together is going to be. And I guess we're going to have to find out this also from Ken. What we've done is gotten back onto the routine of taking in all the bids during the year. And hopefully this will be a regular NRC function that we'll do every year. And I think we had, two bids or three?
We had three.
Three. And so Ken is going to announce the next year's NRC convention. And what I'd like to do is... encourage anyone here in the room, now's the time to start planning for the 2002 convention, or actually 2002, because we're announcing 2001, so we're announcing, start planning for 2002 anyways, and the point man on this is going to be our videographer, Mr. Ernie Wesolowski. Ernie is going to take in all the bid information and then distribute it and make sure we get all the finite details and everything. So if you're interested in hosting an NRC convention, please get the information to Ernie so that next year at this time we can announce the 2002. So without further ado, Ken, would you like to announce next year's convention?
Before I announce who won the offer, we had two bids that we did not accept this year. And we'd like to invite both to rebid another year. Some of the information was just a little bit late getting in. There's one reason that we made the choice we did. But next year's convention will be in Pittsburgh.
Oh, man.
And hosted by John Malachy. And I don't think he's here to faint.
He's still eating.
He's still eating.
And we hope US Air is not on strike.
Yes. Well, the only thing I can say on behalf of the club hierarchy is to talk to Dick, and the club is in fine standing. Everything seems to be moving along just fine with no problems. At this time, I'd like to open up the floor to any questions or comments concerning the club. Any business? Mr. Starr.
Greg, you may just want to touch on why Mr. Truax, our faithful treasurer, was unable to be here. First. One of the easiest, it may be.
What happened to Dick is Dick was works for a company which sells trucks, and he was taking a truck up to another dealership, and when he stepped out of one of these big rigs, I guess you'd call it, stepped sideways on his ankle and snapped a bone in his leg. So Dick is literally at home in a cast. Said the only way he could drive to Lima is if he drove with one foot, and I don't think I'd want to attempt something like that all the way from Louisville to Lima. So hopefully Dick will be back with us next year. In fact, I'm going to count on it, unless he snaps the other leg. But we won't jinx him with that. Anything else for the good of the order? Mike Lance.
Yeah, I just want to say how much I personally enjoy the DX audio service. It's the greatest thing. And this month's past issue, or last month's issue, when you did the whole thing with WMAQ, was super.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'd like to, and with Mike's comments, I'd like to touch on one thing. It's nice to have the accolades thrown to myself and to Paul for the publications that we put out for the club. But I think I would be misunderstating our purpose within the organization, that we're kind of like the people that funnel the stuff into the bottle. The editors of the DX Audio Service, those who have contributed materials to us, I can't say enough about. We have probably one of the best teams that I know of in club circles. And as I've always maintained when I've talked to organizations on other media, especially the news media, it's motivation by money is one thing, but motivation because you love what you're doing and you like providing the information is something else. And I think that speaks very highly for this club and why this club has been such a success for so many years. So I think we all owe an applause to our editors. And any other comments from the floor?
Yes, I'd like to make a comment.
Yes.
I also love the DX Audio Service. I've been getting it since 1985. I know time is of the essence, but if each editor gave contact information in each issue, those of us like me who are kind of sloppy with our bookkeeping might immediately write to Jerry Starr or John Bowker or Bruce Conti if we were particularly impressed with that month, if it happened to have his address or email that particular month. So I don't know whether maybe each issue ought to have, each person ought to finish his column with contact information.
Just his name and address and phone number and such?
Well, whatever you want, name, address, or phone number, email, whatever that person, however they want to be reached.
Okay.
But remember, not everybody has email, so.
Okay.
I just think it'd be good if it were on each issue, at the end of that particular person's column.
Okay. I think we can handle that. Michael?
Whatever happened to great historical moments in radio history? I love it.
Well, I'd have to defer to Mr. Bowker, but I think John is enjoying his retirement from that column, and we might bring it back as just like maybe a piece in After Dark sometime.
Uh-huh.
But for now, we're going to shelve that particular feature. And one of the big problems we have with the DX Audio Service is, of course, time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if DX Audio Service members have noticed, but we've lengthen the tape length a little bit.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And we're just about to the maximum point. If we go any further, we get to the thin tape, which usually gets eaten in a machine. So I'm kind of reluctant to put any more on it. So I think we're getting 49 minutes a side right now is what we're publishing. John.
What's the status of the NRC log for Wayne Heinen?
It's completely done, and I have one box of them here for sale.
Ooh, you do?
Yep.
Yes.
How much?
16 here. $16.95 if I have to ship it to you.
And how many do you have?
I have 24.
24. And how many people are going to get a log? Oh, my gosh.
That's not 24. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I heard another question.
Computer version, the ASCII version.
Wayne's still doing the disc, isn't he?
Yes.
Yes. That is available. And the disc is
the disc is updated with whatever information he has. It might be updated a little past the log after a bit, because as he puts the information in the database, that is what he prints out or puts out on the disc.
Mm-hmm. And that's straight ASCII.
Yes, straight ASCII. So if you have a way of like brailing the notes that Jerry gives on the AM switch. And I'm assuming that most members that get the printed version of the log, every time you read Jerry's column, you're making corrections in your logbook. But if you make corrections per Jerry's column, you're about as up to date as possible. And I'd like to touch real quick on some of the other logs. I'm not meaning to slam anyone, but there are other logs out there. But you know, when you look at the content and you look at the accuracy, the National Radio Club AM log is the most up-to-date publication around. Any other comments, questions, bouquets or brickbats?
I've got one comment I'd like to make.
Okay.
I believe that last April, Fred finished 15 years with the audio service, and Paul has been 15 years?
12
years doing DX News. And that's a long time to put in the amount of time that they do. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Ken, could I add to that just for a minute before Fred sits down? And that is, I don't know how many of you know it, Fred has just been elected vice president of the television station that he's employed by.
Oh.
And that's quite an accomplishment, I know, from the broadcast.
Thank you.
And one last thing, show me your wallet. I want to tell you why Fred has had to give up alcoholic beverages, which for Fred was major.
This hurts.
What's that, Fred?
This is a badge for Allen County Office of Emergency Management. I'm the assistant director for the Allen County EMA.
Terrific.
Which, a funny story, I found out through some of the political circles, the proper way that you go into an establishment which sells alcoholic beverage and is that you have to go in, and even though you order a Coca-Cola, you can't let the waitress pour you the Coke. You have to ask for it in a can and set the can next to the glass so everyone can see that you're not doing a mixed drink. But God, does that hurt to be dry.
Say, Fred, approximately how many DX Audio Service tapes go out each month now?
I gotta think. The last time I ran tapes was 135.
Oh, wow.
And this year we've been kind of on a hiatus from doing After Darks and some of the special publications. Now that I've got a few things settled at the TV station and I'm back in the swing, I think I can spend a little bit more time and we should put on some more publications. One thing I am working on, and maybe the members here can help me on a project. After 3 months of badgering the Federal Communications Commission, I finally have an interview with a gentleman from the FCC. We've all, and if you're in the email list that we have on the internet, you'll often see some email about, such as, was it the station in Florida that's supposed to be on 1550 that's on 1560, and stations that don't go to night facilities when they're on day facilities at night, and who was it that had the letter from the one station that, Jim has a great letter from a station which says basically that they stay on their day power and day pattern only on nights that they have ball games, which I've looked through part 73 and I've not found that. But anyways, I've got a interview that I'm going to be doing on the DX Audio Service with a fellow, I think his name is James Winston from the Federal Communications Commission, and he's agreed to ask some of the hard questions. So if anyone has any specific question that they would like to have asked, please email me or just write to me.
What about legal IDs?
That's a question I've got in there.
Good. All right.
And another thing we're working on is, I've heard a lot of members have said at one time or another about they'd like to start their own radio station. It's always been their dream and such. That's another story that we're working on. And what I hope to do is, I've got a copy of a program called Via Voice, where you speak into a microphone and then it types it out. I hope to be able to transcribe a lot of this stuff for Paul, so if Paul wants to put it in there in bits and pieces, he'll have access to it too. So we're trying to give you guys the news that you want.
Fred, on that DX Audio Service, has it constantly gone up, or was there a peak and then it's gone down as far as numbers, or don't you happen to know?
It's gone up and then it's gone down. I think typically it goes down in the summer, spring and summer, and I don't know why, but and then it comes back up again.
So it's about 135.
I think it stayed pretty close to within 10 of that, one way or the other.
The biggest problem, and as I've said at every convention, the biggest problem, and this goes for DX News too, because I know that I've received emails from people who have heard about the National Radio Club, and we've sent them out a sample. Either I'll just send them my old DX News, or I'll email Paul and ask him to send one. But every time we pick up a new member that has just found us, it's always the same old story. How come I never knew about you guys? I thought I was the only one that listened to distant radio stations or listened to radio. So the thing that I found out, at least here in the town, I don't know if you met Keith that was here the other day. He is a DXer also, so he'll probably become a member of the National Radio Club again. This guy worked in our shop over at the TV station for 4 months, and we just started talking about broadcast band radio, and then just one day out of the blue he says, you know, I sometimes write to radio stations, get these QSL cards like I get my ham cards, and I showed him DX News Magazine, and I was like, how come I never knew about this? So the best thing we can all do as members is to pass the word to everyone else we can.
Fred, I'd like to poll the group. Would you like to have a speaker maybe next year from the FCC come to the meeting?
Is there a Pittsburgh office, Jerry?
I don't know if there's a Pittsburgh office or not, but if there isn't, we'll get someone. I'll ask a year in advance for someone from D.C. to come up to the meeting. And then you can ask that person all your questions on the spot about why not this and why that.
Well, we can leave that up to our convention host for next year. Mike.
Yeah, I used to hear you on HCJB. I forget the name of the show. You still do it?
DX Party Line.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. I send in material from time to time. Also, Media Network. Wayne, been back.
Yeah, Fred, when you're talking to the man from the FCC, something that gripes me, and I've talked to other people about it too, is when stations sign off sometimes, and those of us who are DXers are curious as to what are we going to get, and for the longest time, maybe they never shut their transmitter down, they just run it with dead air. That irritates me.
Yep.
It's
very common. Any other questions? Deborah.
Yes. I wanted to know if you're taking new subscriptions here at the convention and if when you would be able to do that or...
Absolutely. I'll take your money and smile.
Oh, great. Okay, I'll have to see you sometime. I just wanted to point out that you were mentioning we need to pass this magazine and DX Audio Service on. That's how I found out about it, is Tim Hendel told me about it, and, well, I fell in love with it, and
great.
I'm going to subscribe.
Great.
So...
But again, I'd encourage everyone, if you have a chance and you have your old DX News, rather than tossing it in the trash or something like that, you know, save them and take them to, you know, like a ham fest or something. And if you see somebody who's nosing around an old receiver, just hand it to them and say, here, did you ever hear about the National Radio Club? Be surprised. I think, what was it, 1 year we bootlegged a bunch of them out to the NAB. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of guys, you know, engineer types walking around the NAB looking at DX News, which is a good feeling.
Give me a pile, I'll take you to San Francisco.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, if there's no other questions, why don't we come back here in 15 minutes and we'll start the auction. If you have any items for the auction, please bring them down now.
Here's Jerry Starr with the AM Switch.
Hi, everybody. Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News. Reference number 485 contains these call interchanges, and there are lots of them. 620 KRDY, Grand Junction, Colorado, changing to KSTR. 670, of course, I guess everyone knows that WMAQ in Chicago has become WSCR. 850 KBET, Thousand Oaks, California, changing to KACD. On 940 KFRE, Fresno, California becomes KWRU. 970 WLKY, Louisville, Kentucky becomes WGTK. On 1070 WHYZ in San Souci, South Carolina becomes WXSZ. 1080 WALD, Walterboro, North Carolina changes to WOTA. 1160 WSCR, Chicago, Illinois temporarily becomes WXRT. 1240 WIMZ Knoxville, Tennessee, changing to WTXM. 1250 KKGM Kansas City, Kansas becomes KXTR. 1260 WMMM in Westport, Connecticut, after using this call for about 6 months, has now officially changed it to WSHU. 1310 WOOX Bedford, Pennsylvania, goes back to their old call, WBFD. 1360 WMNS in Olean, New York, becomes WOEN. 1380 WKDM in New York, New York, will return to the air with the call WNNY. 1440 WWTM in Worcester, Massachusetts, changes to WVEI. 1450 WKZQ, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, becomes WJYR. Also on 1450, KCTI in Gonzales, Texas, changes to KQQT. 1480 WODX, Marco Island, Florida, becomes WIXI. 1540 KISA in Honolulu, Hawaii, changing to KREA. 1550 KUAT, Tucson, Arizona, becomes KUAZ. 1550 WCXJ, Braddock, Pennsylvania, becomes WURP. Also on 1550 WKQV, Pittston, Pennsylvania, changing to WITK. On 1600 WNNY, Rockville, Maryland, becomes WKDM. And into the X-band on 1650 KGXL in Torrance, California, becomes KFOX. 1660 WMIB in Marco Island, Florida, becomes WQRS. And on 1700, the news station in Huntsville, Alabama, becomes WEUV. One application of interest to us on 1530 KQNK in Norton, Kansas, would like to become full-time by adding 58 watts at night. And one grant of interest on 1220 CKCW in Moncton, New Brunswick, will be moving to FM 94.5. In otherness, on 540 KKGO, Costa Mesa, California, this license is canceled and the call has been deleted at the licensee's request. 550 WASG, Atmore, Alabama, this silent station is on the air once again with their new power of 25 kilowatts daytime, 143 watts at night. 590 WWLX, Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, is silent. 710 WEPA, Eupora, Mississippi, this license is canceled and call deleted at the licensee's request. Also on 810 WCYK in Crozet, Virginia, this license is canceled and call deleted also at the licensee's request. On 830 WTRU in Kernersville, North Carolina, presently silent, but that's a brand new call they have just received, which should signal a return to the air, possibly with a different format from the all-news format they did have. 860 WRFB in Cocoa, Florida, license canceled and call deleted. 1140 KSLD, Soldotna, Alaska, is silent. 1190 KMFX in Wabasha, Minnesota, is also silent. 1220 WQSA, Sarasota, Florida, has returned to the air. 1320 KSTD in Hemet, California, is silent, will return to the air, according to them, this fall. 1370 WBYE, Calera, Alabama, is silent for transmitter repairs. They expect to be back on in the month of October. 1390 WAVP in Avon Park, Florida, is back on the air. And the Florida Airways continue to fill up on 1400 WPRY, Perry, Florida, also has returned. 1500 CKAY in Duncan, British Columbia, their construction permit to move to 89.7 FM is now on. On 1550 KQWB in West Fargo, North Dakota, this station appears to have gone silent and has moved to their new X-band assignment of 1660, where they are now operating. 1620 KBLI, Blackfoot, Idaho, this new X-band station is now on the air. And on 1700 WEUV in Huntsville, Alabama, this new station is also now on the air, relaying their 1600 station WEUP. That wraps it up for this time. I receive mail at the Radio Center, 4040 Simon Road, Youngstown, Ohio, 44512. Now let's head south, or north, or east, or wherever he may have wandered after the big convention in Lima. Here's John Bowker.
Well, thanks again, Jerry. And hello, everyone. This is John Bowker, and now live from the convention meeting room at the Hampton Inn in Lima, Ohio. This is the Travelogue program segment of the DX Audio Service. And let's see, for the next few minutes, you're going to be hearing recordings of the legal station breaks of AM broadcasters from the eastern half of the United States that all have one thing in common. They all come in at 590 on your radio dial, provided you're where they are.
Before we get started getting all confused about whatever happened in Boston at 590 a few years back, let's see who's up early this Sunday morning here at the NRC convention in Lima, listening to these station IDs. Let's start down here at the end of the table.
Clarence Cordray from Cincinnati.
Cincinnati?
Yes.
You've been in Dayton, too, one time.
Well, in Canton, Dayton, Cincinnati. I finally came back home.
All right.
But anyway, I found the tour of the WIMA facility very interesting.
That's good. It was fun.
That was very nice, yeah.
And Debbie?
I'm Debbie Saylor, and I'm from Rhinebeck, Iowa.
Where's Rhinebeck with respect to, Mississippi River?
For all of you that know KXEL 1540, it's about 30 miles to the southwest of there.
And do you get KXEL okay?
Waterloo, Iowa.
Oh, I know, yes, indeed. I'm sure we all do.
Oh, yeah.
And who's that fellow sitting next to you right there, Tim?
This is Tim Hendel from Huntsville, Alabama. And I don't know, for me, the highlight of the convention, I always like the auction, but also actually getting to meet Fred Vobey and Phil Wayne after so many years of being a subscriber. I had met John, but I had never met Fred or Phil before, and that was really a neat thing.
Yeah, we were glad to have them both here, particularly Fred since he's the host, right? Our Virginia voice.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Marthouse from Brookneal, Virginia. And I got to say, my highlight of this entire convention was getting a chance to sit down and buy Fred Vobey a beer, which was real easy to do because the beer was free.
that's the best guy. How about South Florida?
Hi, Mike Lance from Miami Beach, Florida, and my highlight of the convention was WIMA.
Oh, really? What'd you like over there, Mike?
I liked meeting everybody and just finding out new things about radio.
Well, they surely put on a nice show for it. How many FM stations were in that same building?
Let's see, two, I think.
Am I making it? I thought there were three. Three.
Three.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Debbie knew there were three. See, hey, you got to keep up. Well, all right.
Hi, good morning. I'm Larry Stoller, and for fellow broadcasters, I'm Larry Steele. I'm from Stamford, Connecticut, about 40 miles from New York. My highlight of the convention was WIMA, also keeping up with WNRC and what was going on there.
Fred put on a nice show with this WNRC, AM and FM.
He certainly did.
Yeah, and the station could be heard outside the Hampton Inn, too, just a little.
That's correct.
And there's Wayne way across the table. Good morning, Wayne.
Hello there. This is Wayne Ryan from Brantford, Ontario. This is my first NRC convention, and it's just so great to be able to come down here and visit with everybody in person that I look forward to hearing from on the tapes every month. And I enjoy being on the Musings line every month, too.
And Dave Whatmaw brought you down here, as I recall. You came down with him?
Yes.
You haven't noticed that his back bumper is starting to sprout some bumper stickers.
Well, I know it always did.
It always did. He had a van covered with bumper stickers. That's right. Well, we could go on with this forever, I think, around the room. So let's get started with the October 2000 DX Audio Service Travelogue. And we're going to start by going back about 40 years in Beantown in Massachusetts.
WBEN. News Radio for Boston.
Oh, I just had to start with that. What a great concept, having the high school cheerleaders come in and do the station break for you. And, of course, the payment for that was a nice set of uniforms for the cheerleaders in one of the high schools in Boston. Now, that would work real well for any specialty station, I should think, but WEEI was a full-service CBS station over all the years of my youth with those great network shows all day long and well into the night.
Your CBS news station brings you the world of information. WEEI News Radio 59.
This is WEEI Boston, Greater Boston's number one station for news. Highlighting the top stories at this hour, the Norfolk County DA's office will be looking over some...
Now, by the early 1990s, they decided the all-news concept had started to need a new focus, and the time had come to switch to all sports. And it was also then they began to pick up listeners just west of the city by absorbing one of the Worcester stations as a full-time simulcast partner with WEEI.
Thanks from all of us at Sports Radio WEEI.
WEEI Boston, WBEI Worcester. If the game is on, you must be listening to Sports Radio WEEI.
And then came the NRC convention in New Hampshire. How many of you guys were at the NRC convention that Bruce Conti put on up in Nashua? Why? I don't hear your hands rising. Yay, okay, good. Anyway, it was about then the Boston radio dial went berserk, if you remember. The 850 station, WHDH, signed off one evening and never returned. And WEEI moved up the dial to 850. 590 in Boston became all business radio.
WBNW Boston, WBEI Worcester. New Hampshire Robber could be in Quincy, and the Patriots say goodbye to seven players.
And WBNW lasted, what, about 3 years? Yielding to a new owner and format and a new 590 call sign. That all happened in 1997, if memory serves.
Weekday mornings at 3:30 and 10:30, right here on Family 590.
This is Family 590, WEDE Boston, New England's Christian radio station. You're at home.
Beverly LaHaye Today is sponsored by Concerned Women for America.
You know, in fact, WEZE had been a well-established set of call letters in Boston, having appeared at 1260 for many years. Well, now, we've had some interesting folks as members of the National Radio Club over the years. Among them was Laura McCusker, who a few years back was pursuing her career in the Capital District at New York State.
For romance in the oldies on WROW, I am in FM Albany.
That's all we have of Laura, I'm sorry to say. Oh, boy. That's right, though, and any of you who get a chance to drive up the New York Thruway will find a nice greeting just south of the Albany exits with the three tall WROW towers right next to the highway. Very pretty sight.
WROW, Albany.
From CBC News, I'm John Gray.
And that's 590 in New York State. So, we head south into Pennsylvania in the Anthracite region.
WARM Scranton, serving Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and the Poconos, where news comes first.
First in the news at 12, the Marines help Americans trapped in Liberia. Good afternoon, I'm Andy Palumbo.
You know, this next entry at 590 kilohertz was once graced by the editor of AM Switch back a few years ago. How many years? I really don't know, and Jerry isn't here to tell us. But anyway, they operate with just 1,000 watts, but that's enough to cover the main marketing district they need to cover in southwest Pennsylvania, along with the support of the Pirates, of course.
Root for the Pirates all summer long, here on WMBS Uniontown.
Well, we have a number of people here this weekend from the Pittsburgh area, so we'll ask our first quiz question of the day. Okay, everybody? What were the call letters of Fayette County's Pioneer Broadcasting Station?
590 WMB.
We got one right, and that was from John Malachy. He wins the grand prize, Fred. What? We got a candy kiss for him here. Okay. Well, okay, we got that one right. Let's hear it.
John, the Radio 59 WMBS, taken for one of those greatest hits LPs, and if not for you. 88 degrees in downtown Uniontown. We're going to take a break now for the latest worldwide and national news from the CBS Radio Network here on Fayette County's Pioneer Broadcasting Station, WMBS Uniontown. It's 11 o'clock.
Now, normally you'd think that a 5,000-watt station at such a low dial position would probably dominate the market in a smaller city, but at least one person in this room with us today can confirm this next station probably only has about three listeners, the announcer, the engineer, and the station manager when he's in town. And why is this? Well, you see, the really dominant station in this region operates from a house trailer just down the road at 1230 on the dial, but here, listen to this one first.
Lynchburg's on-ramp to the information superhighway, WLVA.
Why wait to see it tonight or read about it tomorrow? Hear it now on AM 590, WLVA, Lynchburg.
CBS News, this is Barry Bagnato in Washington.
Hey, Dave Marthouse, you're the manager of that station, right? Just swing your chair around a little bit.
Not LVA.
No. No, of the dominant station. How far down the road are you from Lynchburg?
We're about 30 miles south of Lynchburg.
And 1230 on the dial, right?
That's correct.
And that doesn't give you much of a break in Lynchburg, I'm sure. But do you make the book up there?
Unofficially, my spies have told me that we might have perhaps shown up.
That's great.
I can't say that officially.
That's WODI, right, in Brookneal.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, I just wanted to make sure that we give due credit throughout the room, at least, if nothing else. Anyway, WLVA really started to worry when WODI came on with Marthouse in the morning, I can tell you. They got a little bit desperate, and they finally found a way to tell their sponsors they had more listeners in every age category than did that Brookneal station. Listen to this, and you'll see how they solved the problem.
This is WLQE-FM Bedford, WBLR Manita, and WLVA Lynchburg.
Three stations. They're ganging up on you, Dave. Oh, well. We're going to move to the mobile recording studio next down to the North Carolina border. This will be in the city of Wilson. And we're getting down into the Bible Belt about now.
This is WGTM Radio AM, Wilson, North Carolina, 590 on your radio dial.
President Oliver Tambo spoke today to the ANC's first national conference in South Africa since President de Klerk lifted a 30-year ban on the movement in February.
You know, Wilson is a good-sized town not far from the Atlantic coast and just off Interstate 95, so we go right by it. But if we go way inland from I-95, a good five-hour drive, about an hour west of Charlotte, we come to Rutherford Town. Okay, Rutherfordton, actually, is the way they pronounce that. It's a city with fewer than 4,000 people, not near any really sizable towns, but they have a 500-watt radio station operating at 590 on the dial, so we went there.
And Sparky's Oldsmobile. Tune in for the countdown to kickoff, 7 o'clock Sunday evening on AM 59 WCAB, Rutherfordton. From ABC News, John Belmont. Americans are warming to the idea of school vouchers.
Okay, here's a sequence of stations that tells a story over the past, quarter of a century or so. Okay, now we're sitting on Peachtree Street on a bench, getting some very strange looks from people.
This is WPLO News.
5:55 in Atlanta, David Cranshaw, WPLO Atlanta News.
And then in the mid-1980s, a big change was called for. First of all, the WPLO call was moved to 610 and out of downtown. They took on a religion format, as I recall, and at 590, things in Atlanta started to brighten up.
WKHX-FM, WKHX, Marietta, Atlanta, with $10,000 secret serials and 52 minutes of music an hour. This is Atlanta's country leader, KISS 101.5 FM.
A minute after 8 o'clock, Wednesday morning, the 31st of January. This is Rocky Marlowe with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and I've been looking on KISS 101.5 FM.
It's quite a change, you got to admit. But then a new broadcasting concept came to Atlanta, as it did to New York and to lots of other places around the country. This is what we hear in Atlanta.
Come to the nation's largest automotive retailer and see just how much fun buying a car can be. Did you stick around? Good, because here's more Radio Disney. AM 590, WDWD Atlanta.
Hey, good morning. This is Dean Wentz. On the way this hour, Mystery Mix. We're giving away a Super Soaker 1000. Also, the word that I forgot.
Okay, someone was asking who would listen to Radio Disney, and, well, if you use your ears, you hear that plug for a Super Soaker, followed by the advertisement for a new car? You tell me what the age group is their demographics are shooting at. I don't know. But I do know one thing for sure. We're about to cross into the blissful climes of the Sunshine State. Yeah, don't we hear an applause? Gee, Jerry. Oh, that's right. Okay, you're right. Okay. Yes, indeed. But I could swear I'm hearing this next announcer say they were serving the Glades. That's the Everglades, of course. Yeah, you know, as in snakes and gators and Mike Lance people and things like that. But anyway, you talk about a lousy audience demographic. Listen to this one now.
Serving the Glades with all-hit country. We're WAFC AM 590, WAFC FM 106.3, Clewiston.
This is the NBC Radio Network. I'm Jeff Young.
Hey, Mike. Can you yell out at me here?
Yes.
The Glades are what I say, full of snakes and things like that, right?
Right.
And isn't Clewiston on the shores of Lake Okeechobee?
Yes.
Well, are there any people within their listening range, do you suppose?
Not too many.
No, I don't think so. Okay, Mike. That southern Florida area is kind of interesting. We'll give them one more shot here just to see what they do when they don't have any people in the audience.
This is WAFC, Clewiston, 590 Radio Fiesta.
I wonder if they're serving Cuba or something. It sounds like that. Let's go out to the panhandle in the central time zone of Florida.
morning. This is AM Stereo 590 WGNE, Panama City, a service of the Woodfin Group.
With Mutual Mobile News, I'm Frank Kempy in Washington.
Of course, WGNE disappeared recently and was replaced by a big band station with a badly timed computer system.
AM Stereo 590, The Breeze, WDIC, Panama
City. Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Schick. The grand jury investigating the JonBenet Ramsey murder could wrap up its work today.
Well, if they do, it'll be the only thing they've wrapped up in the years they've been working on that case. Oh, dear. But wrapping up is what we've got to do, and we'll finish the 590 IDs all across the U.S. next month on the Travelogue. Hey, Bruce Conti, we missed you at this convention, but we understand your teaching career requires you to be in Nashua this week as school starts. So have a great year. We'll all be thinking about you. And now let's hear what you have on this month's DX Digest. It's all yours, Bruce.
Hello, DXers. I'm Bruce Conti, and this is the DX Digest. Over the summer, while vacationing in New England, veteran DXer Ben Dangerfield took the opportunity to meet up with Mark Conley and me at the Rockport, Massachusetts, Granite Pier DXpedition site to check out our car DX setups and listen to some transatlantic signals. I talked with Ben about DXing and his recent trip to Europe. Ben, welcome to Massachusetts.
Thank you, Bruce. I'm glad to be here.
You just went on a trip to Europe and spent some time listening to the AM radio. What's AM radio like out there?
My first impression was it's a shame that so many AM stations are disappearing from the dial in the Scandinavian countries, and it's very disappointing that there's only a few left in Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, and places like that. In fact, there's none in Estonia. My impression also is it's very difficult to DX in the summertime because it doesn't get dark till around midnight, and by that time, when you're traveling like we did, it's almost too late to DX. You're ready to go to bed.
Where were you traveling?
Well, we started out in Finland, Helsinki, and we took a bus to St. Petersburg in Russia. We went from there to Novgorod, to Moscow, and then back to Minsk in Belarus, then up through Vilnius in Lithuania, Riga in Latvia, and Tallinn, Estonia, and back to good old Helsinki, and then flew home.
Wow, sounds like you had a great time. If you were to pick out maybe your top one or two stations you've ever heard as a DXer in your lifetime, what would they be?
Two stations I ever heard as a DXer. You mean good catches, perhaps something like that? Well, I always have to add Radio Pyongyang, 655 kilocycles in North Korea, because it's the only Asian station from that end of Asia that I ever heard. I've never heard Japan or China. Oh, yeah, take that back. I have China verified from their old station at 1525, but that wasn't one of my favorites.
Pennsylvania?
This is from Wallingford, Pennsylvania. My other favorite, it's pretty hard to say. I've got so many stations that perhaps it could have been a deep South American, like Radio Nandeti in Paraguay or something like that.
Any words of wisdom for new DXers just getting started?
Yeah, just listen to the old DXer and have a lot of patience, and don't make too many assumptions, and be sure that when you report something, either you've actually heard it, don't claim something that you're not sure about. If so, say so, because there's nothing more disturbing than have a phony DXer.
Ben Dangerfield of Pennsylvania at the Granite Pier DXpedition site in Rockport, Massachusetts. As Ben recommends, making assumptions about what you're hearing is not always a good idea. I like to use parallels to quickly identify foreign language stations. For example, if I'm hearing Spanish on 855 kilohertz, I can assume that it's from Spain, but will match it up with a station on the same network, such as 684 kilohertz for positive ID. Shortwave parallels can also be useful. such as when Quranic recitations on 864 kHz are the same as on 9755 or 12050 shortwave, thus positively IDing it as Egypt. Parallels aren't always possible, though, so as Ben said, patience is the key. You just have to listen until something identifiable comes up. But even then, reception may remain unidentified. Here's an example. While DXing at Rockport, we received a strong signal with talk on 783 kHz at about 0 hours 30 minutes UTC. It was followed by Quranic recitations, then a brief announcement, followed by a militaristic march or anthem, and sign-off at 1 hour UTC. Mark Conley believed this was Syria, a reasonable assumption based on past experience. However, I wasn't ready to accept that it was, needing something more for a positive ID. The WRTH and EMWG both list 783 Syria sign-off at 0 hours 45 minutes UTC, and Syria being on summertime or daylight savings time would actually mean that sign-off was supposed to be an hour earlier, not at 1 hour UTC as we heard, thus casting some doubt in my mind as to whether this was indeed Syria. The mystery of 783 continues to remain unsolved in my logbook. Perhaps you can help identify this station. This is the anthem heard 1 hour UTC on 783. As heard on 783 kilohertz at 1 hour UTC sign-off. The same has been heard on a number of occasions since then. It's not the Syria national anthem. Any ideas? There's nothing like a good mystery. The challenge of identifying previously unheard of signals is certainly one of the most fascinating aspects of the long-distance radio listening hobby. More next time on the DX Digest. I'm Bruce Conti, 73 and good DX.
Thanks, Bruce. And before we flip over to side two of this cassette, I'd just like to make mention that I had a great time at the National Radio Club Convention. A lot of work, but a lot of fun. And got to meet with a lot of people that I've known through correspondence and just members of the club, including Lexi the dog and even a cab driver that happened to show up after he heard WNRC on the air as he was tuning around in his cab outside the Hampton. And hopefully he'll become a member of the National Radio Club. And that is a good part of our club, is getting the word out that we exist. We'll have more on the convention on side two of this cassette. But speaking of WNRC, I just wanted to ask our members if anyone is interested in getting air check cassettes of WNRC. I did record a good portion of it. I can make it available, but it's going to be a lot of work to prepare the masters and such. So if you are really interested in getting air check tapes of WNRC, please let me know, and we'll make arrangements with Ken at the Publication Center to make them available. And with that, let's flip over to side two of the DX Audio Service for October 2000.